was attacking us always from the city, and because it's so sort of avoided. And very seldomly this happens, the scratching, but sometimes it happens. I see this every day, and one can see all stuff we know, but let me show you now an example, a rather recent example, from mechanics. 5 years ago, you know this already? Ah, yes, I hope not all. 5 years ago, we had a big millennium here, the mankind, it's a more important millennium here, we have this year, of course, for Einstein here. But this was, and a lot of events happened, and one was opening of the London's Millennium Bridge, rather small bridge, but important one for pedestrians. And I only show you what happened, without any manipulations, only the movie of the opening. It was a day as here today, people were happy, went on the bridge. Had not to use this other big bridge. And you see, please look to the bridge. Do you see something? What are people doing now? They are not walking as usually, now they are walking as people on boat, which increases the effect. Do you see? Now the happiness was over. And it's going on.
So I think our building has problems.
So what happened here? All such mechanical devices have unstable modes. This is well known and engineers know. But usually they only look for the radical direction, the unstable modes. But here, this special bridge where extremely strong unstable lateral modes. And it was found later, by the way, by Brian Josephson, this Nobel Prize winner, that this has to do with synchronization. Because if there are sufficient many people on the bridge, we are beyond the threshold and synchronization sets in. And this was described by Kuramoto in his book in 1984. As if the UK engineers were not so ignorant, would go to nonlinear dynamics courses, read the right books, then they could avoid this. And by the way, I was recently told that some stabilization was done by a German company. but this is really, they really then checked this hypothesis of Josephson. That means they let workers go more and more in the bridge, and always if some threshold was, we were beyond the threshold, this synchronization set. And you see, it's even a modern problem. And one, this is another view of this bridge. One further problem is from biology. That's the last simple thing I saw. These are fireflies. It's a movie of fire. Is it going on? Yeah. When it becomes dark, fireflies coming to the trees, and after some time, they begin to fire almost in synchrony. It's not so bad. It's a spatial-temporal thing. It's not so bad. And what is behind? Why do they fire? These are all males. All males, these firing guys. And they fire in synchrony, in collective behavior to attract the females. Very interesting example. So it should be fascinating. You understand what I mean?
Okay, I was attempting to get rid of a bug.
I think you can. It's
a different type. You can twist it.
Yeah, keep it on the wall.
Okay. What I gave you, it's not so sensitive. What I gave you are examples of rather regular systems, periodic line. But we are interested in more complex systems, and the question is there also synchronization in complex, especially chaotic systems or non-periodic systems? And what we saw else is that this was always phase synchronization. The amplitude was not important, of the pendular, of the firing of these fireflies or so. It's more phase. And therefore we were interested, can one get phase synchronization in coupled complex systems? That's the point. And there's some technical difficulty how to retrieve a face in a complex system. In linear system, this is an example of our model world, this is a so-called Bose Lab factor, and here's a trajectory, this is a projection on the plane, runs around one center, but in these amplitudes it's really a strongly chaotic system. How to get a face in a linear system? Of course, we have linear increase of the face in periodic systems, linear increase of the phase, an increase of 2 pi per period. And the derivative is the frequency. This we cannot expect in complex systems, but what to do? And we proposed 3 definitions of for phases in complex systems. Let me go back. First is a very simple one here. The trajectory is always running around a center, therefore we could consider this as what we call a smeared limit cycle, as a smeared periodic motion, and therefore we can argue at each position we can take the arcus tangens y over x independent on time, then we have a phase. That's the first definition. The next one is to make a cut here and argue if the trajectory is running from one cut to another one, we should have an increase of 2 pi as in periodic systems, and in between we have to interpolate a bit. And what we are doing is linear interpolation. It's a very simple thing. The other was this arcus tangens. And there is also a more general approach going back to Gabor, the inventor of holography. And this is a so-called analytic signal representation, which uses the Hilbert transform. And one can show if you have a real signal, S of t. And then if you calculate the Hilbert transform of this S of t, then this brings the imaginary part in the extension from the real axis to the imaginary plane, gives this imaginary part of this presentation. And if you have this, then it's easy to calculate time-dependent amplitude as well as phase. These are the 3 definitions which work for such systems I showed you before very well and do not have real differences. But what I have to tell you, there is so far no final definition of phase for complex systems. And it's a thing for young people or next generation or whatever. Then one can calculate, this is then one component of such an factor. I can calculate phases. They are for all the 3 definitions almost identical. It looks like linear increase, but it is not. If you subtract the linear increase, then you really have also a rather complex phase dynamics in chaotic systems. So that's the first step, and what we can do now is to use these techniques and to see whether there is phase synchronization. The simplest thing is to have one chaotic system, this is the Rösler system, and we have here the non-linearity, which is necessary in a chaotic state, and we derive them periodically. This Rösler system has a mean frequency because it's always running around, we saw it's rather coherent, running around the origin. And we derive this with an external period which is different, this omega c, this external frequency is different from the internal frequency of the system. But if the driving is strong enough, one can indeed get synchronization. That might mean that the mean frequency of the driven system is equal to this frequency of the driving signal. That means synchronization, phase of frequency synchronization. And this happens inside this triangular, which is called Arnold tunnel. Here is the external driving, this is the frequency, and this is the amplitude. And you can see this only by using techniques, as it means there is indeed such phase synchronization in chaotic systems. But what is more interesting, if you have not only a periodic driving, but if you have 2 systems, 2 chaotic systems, which are different, and they are coupled with each other, bidirectionally coupled, and that means they mutually interact and have different mean frequencies. And then one indeed gets, only due to this coupling parameter C, gets phase synchronization. As we calculate the phase difference, dependence on time, if the coupling is very small, we have here a linear increase, no synchronization. If we increase the coupling a bit, it's only 3%, it's not much, then we are at the borderline of something. That means we have plateaus where the phase difference does not change and interrupted by rather fast phase jumps of 2 pi usually. And this is a typical thing in nonlinear dynamics for the border from some behavior to another. And indeed, if we increase a bit more the coupling now, the phase difference is almost vanishing. This means phase synchronization of two coupled chaotic systems. What is now interesting is that for this situation, if you compare the amplitudes of both subsystems, they are almost uncorrelated. That means only the phases are synchronized and not the amplitudes. Therefore, if you look to measurements of such systems, you do not see it immediately. You really have to do some work. This is very good for us, of course, that we are necessary to do some work. Let me give then one has also a synchronization region, and this is the coupling strength, and this is what we call frequency or parameter mismatch, means the difference of both subsystems, and here for all these parameters, we get this synchronization. How to understand what happens, a bit theory behind. We make the following, we use this definition for the phase, and we have then this amplitude definition, time dependence. And if we put this in the original equations of the two coupled Brösler systems, we get this set of equations for amplitude and phase and the Z component. And we are interested mainly in this difference, in the fluctuation of the phase. We have the linear increase, this omega zero is some mean frequency of the whole system. And then we are interested what happens with the rest of the phases. And by averaging techniques, we end up in a so-called Adler-like equation. Adler equation, I guess you have in physics, in the basic courses. And this reads in this way. This is for the difference of this frequency, this phase fluctuations. This is here the mismatch of the parameters. Here we have sine, this is the Adler, and it depends, of course, on the amplitude. If we consider the amplitude first constant, the first approximation, then this equation has one fixed point solution, this is this one. And that means, and if we then make stability analysis of this fixed point, we find that the fixed point is stable for coupling strength stronger than this value, which only depends on the mismatch of the parameters and the amplitudes. And if this is larger, we have stable fixed points, that means the frequency difference does not change, we have phase synchronization. And this is a condition for phase synchronization, and this is a very good approximation also for chaotic systems, this parameter describes well the situation. And this is one thing of theory, and the other is how to understand what is the phenomenon, how phase synchronization occurs. And this one can understand in terms of bifurcations. And maybe you know that unstable periodic orbits are a very important property to describe chaotic systems. Because if one considers or includes all unstable periodic orbits, you have something like the skeleton for chaotic system. And what is necessary to get phase synchronization is that all these infinite many unstable periodic orbits must be phase-locked. All must be phase-locked. That means you can consider all these unstable periodic orbits by now periodic, externally periodic driven signal, and you can calculate for each of these orbits such an Arnold time. And what comes out here, there is a rather large overlapping region. And this overlapping region is the synchronization region for the whole system. Of course, here we know one can calculate all unstable periodic orbits, can only approximate and compute a lot, but for such systems as the Brösler system is rather easy, and therefore one can understand this onset of phase synchronization. You see, this is not one bifurcation, not a hard transition. You need a lot of bifurcations, and all these unstable periodic orbits has to be synchronized, has to be phase locked. Therefore, this is a transition via intermittency, which is also a typical behavior in nonlinear dynamics. So one can say, okay, that's fine, it's easy, we always have such things, but even in simple chaotic systems is not so easy. Maybe you have heard about this Lorentz system proposed by Ed Lorentz to describe some climatic variations. And if we take this Lorentz system and force it periodically, And we take the Lorentz system in these typical parameters where you have such a double loop structure of the attractor. And we try to phase synchronize. We try to do our best and make simulation as long as possible. We never get such thing as here. This is indication of phase synchronization, that you have such a plateau in dependence on the forcing frequency. But we always have deviation. What is the reason? The reason is that here the unstable periodic orbits have a rather large spectrum. That means we have different frequencies among all these unstable periodic orbits, ranging from 8 to 9, covering about 10% range. This is very difficult and now to synchronize all these orbits. And we tried our best, we could not make it. And the reason is that you do not find such an overlapping region where all these orbits are synchronized. Here it looks like we have, these are all the orbits, we have here this area is overlapped, but this is not true, because we have two things, this one as well as this one, which are non-one-to-one synchronization, but a bit strange, 14 to 15 and 18 to 20 synchronization. That means because there are some orbits far away from most of the orbits, and you can never synchronize one-to-one, but sometimes with such strange, unusual ratios. And that means we have phase synchronized, and sometimes we have synchronization of this orbit only. And this induces also interestingly such phase jumps. This is some modification that you have here, such a staircase of plateaus interrupted by phase jumps, purely deterministically. One can also have these phase jumps due to noise. This was known already by Stratonovich for periodic systems under the influence of noise, and also at the borderline I showed you. And that means phase jumps are very typical and are in many applications unavoidable. Therefore, we cannot use our hard criterion for phase synchronization that the difference should be bounded. This is end-to-end synchronization. You can also take one-to-ones, only to be more general. And therefore, you have to look in the statistical sense. It's unavoidably, because we have real data, reality is as it is, and even some deterministic systems are so. Also, to identify phase synchronization, you need a statistic description. And that means first we consider this phase difference in a cyclic manner. That means we take modulo 2 pi of these phase differences, and then we consider the distribution of these cyclic phase differences. And if this distribution is almost uniform, then no synchronization. But if we have a well pronounced one hump or a few humps, it's a strong indication for phase synchronization. Then there are meanwhile also statistical tools to check whether it's really phase synchronization or it's only an artifact. And this has to be done. So now applications. So there are several applications or many applications in experimental systems, and very interesting for laser systems in electrochemistry, but also outside our simple experiments in real world data. And I will give you two examples. One example is a cardiovascular system. This is a cardiac and respiratory system. We also did another one for Parkinsonian patients, that brain and muscle activity are becoming synchronized, phase synchronized during this tremor activity. And even the brain is starting to become synchronized several seconds before the onset of tremor activity. It's really interesting, but let me come to the other point. This cardiac system is usually measured with electrocardiogram, and the respiratory system is measured by the temperature at the nose. And this is not so easy, and people do not like it. So far, you have to take objects which cannot say against something. One are high sport performers. If the doctors tell them we have to do it, that will become better and more fit, that they accept. And the other groups are newborns. They also cannot use against. But here you see a difficulty. This is ECG, this is more a point-like process, whereas respiration is rather continuous. how to compare both was in the beginning a bit difficult, but then turned out to be an advantage, because one can argue that from one such peak called R peak, by the real doctors, the medical doctors, I mean, from one R peak to another is one heartbeat over, can argue this is an increase of 2 pi. Here we can calculate phase by this Hilbert transform approach. And we put this together in the following way. Here we have time, and here we have phases during 2 respiratory cycles. And we make a dot at this phase of the respiratory cycle when an R peak occurs. Because in the beginning we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 R peaks, but they are rather unstructured. And after about 10 minutes, is where people at rest, high performance swimmers, after about 10 minutes, maybe they really became relaxed. And now you see that there is such a strike like behavior, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 heartbeats during 2 respiratory cycles. And then we make this statistical analysis and see if I hope you see it, it's not so good. This is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 peaks in the distribution. And this is really a strong and significant indication for 6-to-2 or 3-to-1 synchronization between respiration and heart. And this is, the question was then, what is the directionality? Is only respiration influencing the heart, or also some back action? Because that's the respiration, you can influence the heart activity by respiration is well known. The yoga in India applies this for thousands of years. Then we have data together with people from Israel, from heart transplanted people, and there the nerves are cut. That means you have no back action from the respiration on the heart activity. We found there also such synchronization, and this is a strong indication that we have really a bidirectional coupling. This is natural in some sense, but was never shown quantitatively before. Then one can also go to spatially extended systems, and there one, that means not only 2 oscillators, but our world is more complex. You can have lattices or chains of oscillators. You can also have networks. I know last week or so was a talk on networks, and very soon another one is coming. Also in such networks, synchronization is very typical. And here you have very often also some clustering of networks, and one can show this in terms of pictures, and then you have such defect-like structures due to this. Okay. So maybe another thing which is of high interest now in neuroscience is that you have not simple oscillatory dynamics, but you have bursting and spiking dynamics, both. And this is described by these simple 2-dimensional maps proposed by Volkov. And we have studied this from the viewpoint of synchronization, global coupling of all these maps, and they are all, these are models for neurons. And all neurons are different. Therefore, this parameter alpha I is randomly distributed in this interval. And then you see this is a typical behavior. This is bursting, this is a long-term activity interrupted by spiking. If there is no coupling, because we have selected 2 oscillators, they burst and spike, but no synchronization. But if you switch on the coupling, you see that now the bursting is becoming synchronized, but the spiking not. Which is very interesting, it's by these simple models, because neuroscientists told us that they really observe such things, that sometimes bursts between different neurons become synchronized, but spikes not. And this synchronization of bursts is enough for some action. This one can analyze in more detail. You see if we increase the coupling, more and more of these frequencies become synchronized, and we have a cluster of this size becoming larger, and eventually almost all become synchronized, and this is also a phase, a second order phase transition independence on the coupling strength. So now example of this approach. Now we have not only 2 oscillators, we have many. And one example is in cognitive science, I would like to show you. The problem is, how can we process some cognitive tasks? One is a process of visual stimuli. People get some pictures, and in parallel, EEG, electroencephalography, is measured. We have 30 channels, this is a good resolution. And we make now a multivariate synchronization analysis. And the picture is the following, the so-called Kanitsa picture, which looks very simple, but you must set very simple things in order to understand something. This is a control picture, and here you see immediately this triangle. But if you look to this, you have to do some work to recognize that this is a triangle. And this has been analyzed compared to this. It looks trivial, but you really have to do it. I show you the result. Now we have here.
So what is it that you ask the people to do when you say
nothing?
You analyze compared to that?
Look to the picture. Nothing.
And then you just look at their brain.
Yes.
You show them one picture, and then you show them another picture, and then you show them the first
randomly,
picture
again. Randomly, yes, yes.
And then you just see what's the difference in the brain.
And this is, I show you after synchronization analysis. These are here the 30 channels on the Skype, on top of the Skype. And minus 60 milliseconds means 60 milliseconds before the presentation of this picture. And now it's going on.
What are you measuring here? Is this blood level or electrical activity?
Electrical activity. Electroencephalogram. Electrical brain activity.
What is that more precisely? Is that current flowing through?
Yes. It's really what is the current which is induced by the neurons, by ensembles of neurons. And if you have here green or blue or so, this means almost no synchronization. But now, let's see, no action. Synchronization also means activity or action.
You say you have 30 electrodes.
Yes, look here. This was not the right moment to ask a question. Okay, 1 minute later. Let me show you again. Also, we start here. At zero, you see presentation. Nothing happens. You need about 150 milliseconds, then people start to think, to process. After about 400, it's done. You understood. You do not say, you also behave the same. Believe me, please.
This is sleeping?
No. You have to look.
So, what is this picture? Is it a picture of the brain with the 30 electrodes? Is the picture of the voltage at the 30 electrodes and some kind of synchronization analysis between pairs or between some global things?
Between clusters. This is cluster analysis. You define a cluster and then you calculate what is the contribution of one channel to this cluster. And this gives you the color. And only if there is some synchronization, if there is a cluster sub synchronization, you come to red colors and black. Should I show again? Shortly that you learn how you process. Now you start. And this is exactly the area which is expected to work for such visual processing, then it's over. This is really the advantage of this method that one can localize in space and time the activity. That's the advantage.
So how does this compare to MRI, for instance?
MRI has not such high time resolution.
Okay.
You need high time resolution. Right. And what cognitive people usually doing, they give a lot of presentation average. But these effects are averaged out. So far, but really, they knew this, and therefore, this is helpful, this is more sensitive, and more appropriate. Okay, and this was maybe one thing. Another more interesting thing for our cognitive people is to understand language processing. Therefore, they give people sentences with conflicts, very simple sentences with conflicts. Control sentences, for instance, the priest was sent for, the conflict sentences, the priest was assaulted. And then again, EEG is measured to see how people process. This is all what they expect, but here something unexpected happens. And this is very important to have a look inside the brain activity. Here is some activity after 400 milliseconds. And the sentences look a bit strange, but you really must have such simple, elementary things to see. If you give them usual sentences, it's impossible to identify. So there are also maybe some artifacts that we switch over. And coming to a more complex thing, what I showed you so far were attractors, were the systems where you could find a projection on the plane, and the trajectory is always running around the projection. This is what we call phase coherent. But there are also other types, also in the Rösler system, where you cannot find such things, where you have some very often is running around the origin, but sometimes only half of. And then some mathematicians 5 years ago or so promised me this cannot be. I will find a projection which is also such phase coherent. Never I got an answer from them. And so far I tell it's impossible to find such a projection. But I know here are very, very bright people, much more bright than me. Maybe they find. I would be happy. But what we are doing is to overcome this problem, we look to the curvature. And the curvature helps to solve the problem. After some algebra, you come then to a phase definition instead of arcus tangens y over x, y dot over x dot. And it's not so simple as it looks, a bit more. And then you find indeed, if you look, this is here the xy, and this is x dot y dot. And you see now this curvature always is running around a region. And then you can make again this phase analysis. But here it's really more complicated because this is the phase coherence thing. You have only a few time scales included. In lots of power spectrum, you have a narrow band power spectrum, but here a lot of time scales are included, broadband power spectrum. And to synchronize them is much more difficult. And now in this system, which are not phase coherent, we lose this very interesting property from the phase coherence system. There I told you only phases synchronize, amplitudes not. Here you get phase synchronization only if the amplitudes are also interrelated, unfortunately. Anyone can understand this. This is usually I refer to Albert Einstein, but I have not to do here, by the diffusion. One can calculate the phase diffusion, it's a phase diffusion coefficient. And now you see immediately that in phase coherent case, the phase diffusion is very small, but in the non-phase coherent case, it increases 4 or 5 orders of magnitude. Really becomes more complex. One can also make some theory. So now, example, 2 examples. I have not really an astrophysical example, but I'm coming closer from the brain to the climate. Big step. El Nino activity, you know, is very important in Latin America, and monsoon is very important in India and around. And if the monsoon, if there's a failure of monsoon, it's a disaster. If there's a very strong El Nino, it's a disaster in Latin America. And the question was, here is there some interrelation between El Nino and monsoon activity? But now it cannot be a mutual interrelation, but only driven influence from El Nino on monsoon activity. And we took these data, which are typical, these are this typical Nino activity, and these are rainfall data from India, the standard things. And here one sees from the El Nino data, if one tries this Hilbert transform x over y, you cannot find such a projection. But if you look to the curvature, then you get what we have to have such a rounding around one center. And then we make this phase analysis I mentioned before, and we could identify 2 epochs where the phase difference almost identical. That is here around 1880 to 90 and 1960 to 1980. And afterwards a strong jump, and it was very interesting. It's not, we do not have a clear interpretation. There is some hypothesis that if you look to the volcanic activity during that time, you see that before the onset of this phase synchronization, there was very strong volcanic activity, and here again. But here was another strong volcanic activity, and we cannot decide whether it's again phase synchronization. That is, you have 2 events, and it's a bit difficult, but this is very interesting phenomenon which people should include in modeling of climate systems. So one can also look for the phase difference. At another, now let me come back to cognition. This, of course, such a picture is very popular. Tsunami and typhoons and so are very popular these days. And this is an old picture from Japan. And what I would like to refer you, how you look to this. Should I show you how you look to this picture? That's this way. No one of us is able to process the whole picture, but we have to fix our eyes to some position and then make a circuit, a jump, stay sometime at another point. Let me look. There's number one. Here, yeah. This is here. Is you start. This is first and starts here. 2, 3, because he is very active. 4, 5, and so on. And then we always expect symmetry. That means our eyes looking a long time around here where there is nothing. It's interesting. And then coming here. So, but this is too complex for us. We cannot analyze such complex pictures. We have different, more simpler ones. This is to concentrate to one point. It's a very hard task. You can do 2 minutes or so, maximum. And then this is measured with eye tracker measurements with high accuracy. They are available now. And you see now what happens with the left and right eye. It's also impossible to fix. You make so-called microseconds. And this looks a bit like Brownian motion.
Is this where the eye is focusing? What are you measuring? So
we measure the motion of the center of the eyes. You get such a special glasses, and this is measured with high accuracy of both eyes. Yeah.
I've heard a claim for the first time, I think, that people who are trained to drawing trace different patterns than people who are not.
This is here for young people, healthy people, not to look for some training or so, students, by the way.
Right, I mean, we're looking at a painting.
Yeah.
The people who are trained in drawing,
yes,
face the painting differently
than
people.
Yes, yes. And therefore, it's too difficult to analyze, to understand the cognition. Therefore, people now look for such simple things before going to these difficult things. As they hear Brownian motion-like things, and indeed, what people are doing is to make such analysis. First exponent, I think Vandenberg was one of the first to introduce such things, and Gene Stanley is now using a lot. And what you find here is that there are here two first exponents independent on the time lag. First you have persistency and afterwards anti-persistency. That means here is some long-range memory, here not for longer time lags. But this is only one thing. We are of course more interested in phase analysis, therefore we filtered out these long-range effects and made the same synchronization analysis with some statistical hypothesis. And finally, what we found is that in this case, the left and right eyes, the right eyes are indeed phase synchronized. And this is then in favor of the hypothesis that there might be one center only in the brain that produces the fixation movement in both eyes. And this is to get some insight. This is the first step, more experiments and other things has to be done, but this is only to show how you can learn something.
Can you just say very briefly in words what is the phase here between the two lines?
No, it's we have the filtered data.
Can you say that they're phasing? Just say in words what is the phase that is being synchronized.
These are the filtered data. And then we calculate the phase for each signal, as I reported in the beginning, because this is oscillatory. Mm-hmm. If you calculate power spectrum, you have a band, mm-hmm. and then you can calculate a phase, time-dependent phase, for both signals, X and Y, or from both eyes, and then to compare via the synchronization. So sometimes this is also not, I think I'm almost done with the time, I guess. This is also a bit questionable because to calculate the first derivative from noisy data can be a very hard task. Therefore, we look for other things, and another thing is recurrence. Let me only shortly describe what is recurrence, going back to another big guy, Henri Poincaré. You know him very well. He was the first, as far as I know, who described chaos for the three-body problem. that means he mentioned small differences in the initial conditions produce very great ones in the final phenomena. Very nice description of chaos, even today. But he also proved a recurrence theory, which is much more interesting, that the trajectory is always coming back to the vicinity of some position where it was in the past. And this happens entirely often, but what is unclear when it's coming back, the recurrence time. This is then the chaotic thing. And this was also written in the Bible. Maybe I show you this. I hope that not all know. Here we are doing very simple things. This is a picture of Poincaré. We make stretching and folding again and again. And you see that it's going, destroying always some structure, but sometime it's coming back. Unexpected, something is destroying, but it's really now, look, closer, almost identical, but never identical. This is recurrence. This has to do with the initial conditions, because they are finite. And one can also use this for data analysis via recurrence plots that we only show you here. We show up whether a trajectory is coming back to a state, then we make it black, white if it's not coming back, if they mean. For sine functions, then we have this nice structure. For noise, we have structureless, and chaos is in the middle. And what we are doing is, only to put the words, we analyze then these side diagonals and use this for synchronization analysis, and this is very efficient. So now let me go big switch. Applications in astrophysics. I think that is interesting for you. I can tell you only a very little bit. What we did is we analyzed whether there is synchronization between solar activity and the solar inertial motion.
What is solar inertial motion?
The mass, what is this? The center of the mass of the solar system. So and this is time dependent.
The sun is moving with respect to the center of the solar system.
Yes, yes, because the giant planets bring this motion. And very often this is outside the sun, a little bit, this point. One can easily calculate this celestial mechanics. And what we find out was that there are indeed some epochs where both is phase synchronized. And this could be a little further mechanism for inducing solar activity. Of course, dynamo is the main thing, that's no question about, but maybe some percent or whatever could be due to gravity. Dynamo people do not like this, of course, when I tell them, but I hope you like more, that gravity is important. Some people in my group have used this for search of planets outside solar systems. This is recurrence analysis. And maybe, I have no idea, maybe I would be very happy to get some feedback from you. One can also use this approach for interaction of black holes, if they become synchronized or not. Maybe other examples, I would really be very happy, because in what I call my former life, I lived before the phase transition in Germany, I worked in astrophysics, and so far my heart is close to astrophysics, and I would be happy if we could find something. So I'm very open for this. So to finish, here are the people who did the work, which I can talk about. Of course, several people from my group in Potsdam, from physics, from cognitive science, surrounding and several groups around the world, which we have very fruitful cooperation with. And I do not only talk, sometimes we also write and publish. And let me finish also, some reviews are available, I can give you. But finally, I would like to make some advertisement for our book, which has the same title as my talks, Harry Bikowski, Michael Rosenblum, and myself. In Cambridge University Press, and usually I tell, and I also tell to you, but this maybe you become upset about this, the first third of this book is without any formula, only explaining the mechanism. And that physiologists should understand biologists, but the other two thirds are hardcore things. And this is also in soft cover available. is payable, and if you have not enough money, you can go to Russia, there's Russian translation much cheaper. Okay, also this is, I would like to finish, thank you.
So there's a lot of resonant motions of planets.
Yeah.
So those are not synchronization?
No, that's a bit different. Here is really mutual interaction. That systems change their rhythm due to this mutual interaction. And in resonance it's different. There you have one, the three-body problem or whatever problem, and this induces resonance. This is not synchronization in the manner I mean. And it's even modulation is also different. Modulation is not synchronization.
Yeah, so the idea that there would be synchronization between the solar activity and its motion around the center of mass, so that's pretty intriguing, but so it's been observed to some extent. Is there a mechanism that's been proposed, or?
No, this is the focus. First data analysis, we try now to find some physics behind. But we have not made, we try to make some models in order to prove this. Really in terms of physics, but so far it's only data analysis.
The only thing that comes to my mind is that if you change the position of the sun relative to the planets, you change the nature of the tidal forces acting within the sun, and that might have some influence on that.
Exactly, that's the idea also to try to go on. But it's not so easy.
No, no.
But this exactly is the idea.
Are there some laws in the same spirit as thermodynamics for synchronicity? What I mean is that let's say you go to the problem you began with Huygens' experiment. You could formulate, you could say roughly speaking that the lack of synchronicity results in some kind of very weak force. And this weak force over a long period of time is what draws it together. So you could do an average of the effects and say out of that there's an average net force, which is measuring the lack of synchronicity.
Yes.
So that would be a macroscopic quantity built out of the microscopic data.
Yeah.
So, and then you have laws for this force.
Yes.
Do you have such things?
Not really. So we are looking in ensembles, especially of oscillators. There you find easiest such things as some thresholds and how to come into synchronization, how to go out of synchronization, very important.
Right.
Especially in epilepsy, this is a synchronized state and how to go out of this. And this really has, but usually we consider this coupling strength. Mm-hmm. But you can also have, maybe this is more in your terms, you have, can induce synchronization due to some time delay. Mm-hmm. As if some participants act with delayed time. Mm-hmm. But in the other sense, I have not.
Well, it seems that a lot of what you said depends on how you define the phase. And so you have, you gave first our kind of x over y when you talked about the curvature. Are there other measures such as x dot over some frequency times y? And whether you can use several of them on the same system to see the synchronization with respect to one phase, the synchronization with respect to the other two?
As it really depends on the system. First, you must have, of course, oscillator system, otherwise phase makes no sense. And if these systems are phase coherent, then all the definitions are equivalent. Only in the other case, you have to look for more sophisticated things. And another approach is also via wavelets. This is also an opportunity to get resolution in time and frequency. And then one can look, can indeed calculate phases from the influence. But this, all these definitions really agree. This is not so artificial as it looks like. But my point of view is the following. If these three, say, basic simple definitions do agree, then we are quantitatively, then we are on the good side. If they do not agree, then one has to think. This is my recommendation. Maybe this is in the
that's what I mean.
Line what you mean. But there is indeed, it's rather clear how long they are working very well, but what to do outside this is a bit difficult.
Just when you touched the brain, that was very fascinating. To what extent do you believe and know that the actual workings of the brain depend in a strong way on synchronization? That is, that if we wanted to understand what a brain is and how a brain works,
yes,
that synchronization is a very yes. important part of that.
As I said, there are two approaches in brain in neuroscience. They one starting from single neurons and coupling some.
Yes.
But they cannot come through the visual processing. And we, with our cognitive people, we are going the other way around, from the whole thing, and look. But of course, both sides should learn from each other. And what we know for sure from these single neuron studies is that indeed every action is connected with synchronization, also this common firing thing. That some ensembles must fire in synchrony, otherwise, no action. And this is really quite clear. And the interesting point is that to induce action in some little area is not so difficult, but in a larger area it's more difficult. And more interesting is if you have synchronization between different areas. This is a real effect very often. And this is what we see rather well from this macroscopic consideration. But synchronization is really the basic thing in neuroscience to understand the dynamic. And desynchronization, of course. This is, of course, we always desynchronize it. This was a long time underestimated, this problem. How to come out of this must be as easy. And the thing with space synchronization, maybe I should mention this again, is that you need only a little energy, a little strength of coupling, and that the subsystems can be different. And this is really what is in favor of observations in neuroscience. And what people are doing now also, where a few neurons make sense in simple animals also. And there are experiments made there. That is also ongoing, and then this is also ongoing in the direction in our hopes.
I'm curious that you describe synchronization as being a concept so closely tied to phase. I would have thought that synchronization is something, is a more general idea to do with time periodicity of coherent behavior. And phase is something that describes, you know, roughly circular orbits in some way.
Yes.
But when you start talking about recurrence diagrams, as you did later, you broaden the whole picture to include any sort of distance measure between
yes.
points in phase. Are they not separate ideas, really, phase,
yes.
phase and synchronization, and why have you chosen to link them so tightly?
As the first thing in complex systems was to look for complete synchronization. This was shown that you have these two identical systems starting with initial different initial conditions, and due to coupling, they become synchronized. They remain chaotic but become identical. But this you never have in nature, I would say. And then the next was to look for generalized synchronization. This is what also in chaotic systems. That the amplitudes are also related, and that you have a rather general kind of synchronization. And this is valid in a lot of examples, but in what we found in all oscillatory systems, phase synchronization is very general. But you get the link in these non-phase coherent systems, they are phase as well as generalized, synchronized. So there is both. And with our methods, especially with Ricardo's work, we can distinguish whether both is synchronized, or only the phases, or only the amplitudes, all is possible. And this is really only one point, one aspect of synchronization. That's for sure. In the book is all.
An obvious application, you know, astrophysics would be cosmic microwave black hole maps. And
yeah.
as far as I can see, the first problem there is I don't think there is a definition of special phase on the sphere.
Yeah.
Going to sphere. So I'm
looking
thought about that, but the topology is a bit different.
Not really. What we would look at several positions, say to have a network or so, and then one you can calculate a phase for each node or for each position and compare them. But real spatial-temporal, this is not yet solved.
And you could do like spherical harmonic
analysis. Yeah, yeah, in principle, but.
Breaks as well.
Yeah. But then you run into a lot of problems.
Yeah.
Take a simple problem, but serious one.
Are there any other questions? Okay. You're welcome. Thank you, Irving, again.
I think I want to go back online.